I want to talk this morning under the theme, what are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? This is our vision statement, if we can bring that up on the screen. You'll be familiar with this if you've been around for any length of time. Let me read it to you just in case it's slipped your memory. We believe God has called us to establish a growing, regional, biblically based community of faith in Leeds. We will worship God, communicate his love and mercy to all people, and commit to living out our faith in Jesus in a creative and contemporary way and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe there is good news for this generation in the kingdom of God, and we long to share that news, particularly in Leeds and the north. We aim to make, train, and equip followers of Jesus to be effective in the extending of God's kingdom, to develop leaders, to plant new churches, to contribute to the blessing of the whole church, and to minister with the poor in practical ways. It's a matter of semantics as whether that's a vision statement or a mission statement or a purpose statement. I don't really mind, but it describes in a broad way what we're intending to do, what we think that God has called us to do as a community here. And so every now and again we need to revisit that and check that that's what we're for. In legal terms, when you give your money to the running of this church, that's what you're giving to. So if we need to make sure that we're on track to try and deliver that in the use of the money from a legal charitable point of view. And I wanted just to review that and how we're approaching that. Well, I'm going to have a quick look back at 2008 and then look forward to 2009 and how that is going to work out, and see if you'll join me in it. If you've got a Bible, would you like to turn to 2 Corinthians 9? There's lots of Bibles around on tables and things. If you don't possess one, just take one with you. I hereby give you permission. I'm actually going to read it from the Message, so it won't be much help, actually, if you're looking at the NIV, unless you're good at thinking about the different translations as you go along. This is a letter that Paul, who's an evangelist just after Jesus, wrote to one of the churches that he planted. And he tended to deal with this church mainly through letter. And most of the time he was cross with them. But at this point, he was encouraging them. This passage is about giving money, but it also applies to lots of other things as well. And I want to take it in the round. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians more later in the year, but here's a starter. In chapter 9, starting at verse 6. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws cautions to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more extravagant with you, more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgiving to God. This relief offering is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really towards everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for his gift, for this gift. No language can praise it enough. It's a great translation, that, isn't it? From time to time, and often at the turn of the year, I look back to track progress and see where I've moved forward in my life plan. For me, that takes various forms. I have plans of how I steward each aspect of my life, and some of the plans are very detailed, especially things to do with money, of course, and some are just gut instincts, but they're all before God. And so the things like how I progress in my relationship with Alison, how I'm progressing as a father to my sons, how I'm caring for my extended family, developing friendships. I want my business to achieve certain things in the next year, and for my personal finances to take shape in a certain way. I want my I also look at this community of faith here, and I know that God has given me some goals to aim for it. Specifically, I believe He gives me the heart for the individual people who make up this community of faith, and a desire to see you progress on your spiritual journey as you follow Jesus. Looking back for us, Alison and for me, our biggest development last year was seeing Josh and Sam, our two sons, effectively leave us as empty nesters. I've also been forced for a particularly demanding growth curve when we've been learning how to pray for people in public and take steps of risk like that. In particular, going to Berlin with a team, some of you guys, in August was one of the hardest 10 days of ministry I've ever experienced. But it was great too. In the general sphere, it's been a quite extraordinary year. I'm in financial services in my business, and I've never ever read about anything like this, never mind experienced it. A year ago, five of the biggest investment banks in America were Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs. Three have now completely disappeared, and the other two don't exist as merchant banks solely anymore. Absolutely extraordinary. You couldn't make it up. A year ago, AIG, who support Manchester United for their sins, were the biggest insurance company in the world, and today they're just an agency of the US government. Quite extraordinary. In the UK, in the last year or so, Northern Rock, Bradford Bingley, Royal Bank of Scotland, HBOS, Halifax Bank of Scotland, Lloyds TSB have all either disappeared or been effectively nationalised. Quite extraordinary. Our high streets have got big for sale signs now, where there used to be Woolworths, shortly Adams the Children's Clothes Retailer, Zavvi the Music Shop, you know, the one that used to be Virgin, Wittard's Officers Club. Look at this. In October 2007, just over a year ago, in the UK, people borrowed £8 billion in mortgages. 8 billion. 12 months later, it was 459 million. That's a 94% fall. Absolutely extraordinary. And a black man was overwhelmingly endorsed as the next president of the USA and released a nervous wave of optimism around the world. An incredible year of change. Much has happened in our life, although and if you look back over the history of the Wharfdale Vineyard, it was a relatively quiet year. We carried on with this. We didn't change this. And others in our regular program, we launched Belly Buttons and Alpha and the Friday Night Project for the young people. There were lots of weekends away of various sorts, various people. New house groups, first set of graduates from the leadership school. Some training days. We did Revive Weekend, and there were several mission trips abroad. This is a part of what we're learning of what it means to be church, all that stuff that goes on out there. That's what it really means. Alex Griffin, who was playing guitar here, he and his wife Karen oversee Reach Out, and he put an article in the newsletter that I think most of you got at Christmas. If not, do ask them, we'd love to give you one. And he said this: I would guess that the number of people who have been touched, soaked, prayed for, etc. by the Vineyard this year runs into the thousands. 800 donuts with cards that says God loves you were given out at Roundhead Bonfire Night alone. More people are going on short-term mission trips. Last count, 16 went last year, and 19 are already lined up for next year. A recent entry on the forum website describes how one person at the Vineyard brought along 200 bags of sweets to the University Christian Union to give away on Halloween, something we call No Trick or Treat. Other than 200 happy students, the CU, Christian Union, noticed that the idea was easy to do and effective, and a number of their members now want to do giveaways regularly and even get their home churches to do the same. Further, the steps people are taking at the Vineyard are having an impact on the streets. That's what we do on Saturday mornings in the city. Browning House, Inglewood Children's Home, what Tim was talking about. And hours upon hours of opportunistic chats with neighbours, family members, colleagues, and complete strangers. We're beginning to learn what being church is about. This time last year, I encourage you to leave your circle of comfort, walk across the room, and enter the zone of the unknown, using Bill Hybels' book as a guide. Do you remember what I said? I said, if there are 200 of us in this community, roughly, and each of us took three steps each month, family member, co-worker, friend, maybe a stranger, three steps each month like that, it would add up to 7,200 over the year. And here are some of the stories that happened as a result. Some of these you'll have read about on the website. Birgit had that very entertaining account of buying a chocolate bar for somebody at the petrol station in the queue. Jane prepared a festive treat for the lady at the checkout in the supermarket near her house, took it down to her because she wasn't going to get much of a celebration that year. Alex prayed for his co-worker's broken leg and then had him around for dinner. Several of you were meeting at Buttercups and Cafe Nero's to pray and share prophetic words with people. Several of those led to a significant intervention by God in people's lives. Four of the women, I think, held a prophecy party for some girlfriends at their home where they prophesied over them. They had no idea what was going on. Debbie and Elaine prayed for a distressed lady at a bus stop outside the hospital. Nigel followed up a referral from a GP to support and pray for a needy person in Osmondthorpe. He also regularly offers to pray for clients of his business as he shows them around buildings. Many of you prayed for people in the parks and on the streets, whether on your own or when we did it together in groups. Kate prayed for a Hindu friend's daughter who then got better. Pauline prayed for a lady's damaged hand. She kept praying, and on the third time it got better. Out and about, which is when we go out for walks and things as a big group on the third Sunday, that blossomed as something to which you can invite your friends easily. The Alpha Course helped bring several people to faith in Jesus. Ian gave out chocolates on Valentine's Day to all his office colleagues. I'm not sure what the guys thought of that. Alice and I had the privilege of leading a funeral for a baby of a woman on the fringe of this community. Jeffrey, who works on the trains, prayed for several people on the trains when they looked distressed. Tom and Julia have organized wonderful practical help in getting people's houses cleaned up and repaired. Mel took a massive risk of introducing spirituality to the nurse practitioners group she leads. Alison prayed for a lady in her art class. We saw people healed and impacted by God on the streets and in the parks around Leeds and in Berlin. Tim and Joe reached out to their friends and family with a dedication celebration near their home. Recently, those of us who work at the VC, the Vineyard Center, had the opportunity to offer a Christmas lunch to our neighbors, some of whom do not get on with each other, some of whom would have been classified with the tax collectors and sinners with whom Jesus spent much of his time, and all of whom were very curious as to know what goes on inside the Vineyard Center. That's a couple dozen there, and I could go on and on and on. As well as all these individual stories, there were many occasions when groups of us have joined together to take steps, things like the Serve Fest, No Trick or Treat, the Christmas Wrap, the collecting Christmas trees that we did last year and are going to do, and on again. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? A bit? Just a little bit good? That's what we mean by seeing God's kingdom come. I know it means more than that, but it means that too. Don't you want to see more of that in 2009? More of God in action, more of people coming to know Jesus, more people being healed, more people being blessed by random acts of kindness, more marriages restored, more finances replenished, and as we go through a credit crunch, which is worrying people, more peace. As we head into 2009, as Alice and I head off there trying to do some more of this stuff, do you want to come with us? Let's do this again, shall we? I want to share with you some things that I think the Lord has planned for us for 2009. For me, personally, I think the Lord is telling me to get my house in order. I'm not quite sure what all of that means, but I think there's going to be, for me and Alison, in 2010, there's going to be quite a few changes and challenges on many fronts. Not sure what they all are, but I just sense that they're coming. And so for me, 2009 is a getting ready year. It involves developing my business, restructuring the way I work at the Vineyard, reappraising my personal life with Alison and the boys. And I want to talk you through some of the things that are related to that, but also just generally for this community in 2009. In particular, I'm trying to give you some material for this. We're heading into a week of prayer and fasting, which we do every January. So over the next 7 days, which start today, in fact, it's on the website and it was in the newsletter, so I'm sure you're aware of it, but I want to reinforce some of that and explain how some of those things are going to look, what they're going to look like in the next year. For today, I'd like you to pray for the leadership and the staff, particularly the general leadership team. Now, there's quite a lot going on this front, and I don't want to bore you with it. If not now, it's shortly, there'll be a comprehensive information on the website, or just ask us and we'll print it out for you. But I do want you to know about some changes we're making, which probably won't be very noticeable from where you're sitting, but which will make a difference. I hope it'll make us more effective in leading. We don't need to get to that picture just yet. More effective in leading in the kingdom. As we often say, living things grow, growing things change. And as we grow, change is inevitable. From time to time, so we need to just reassess what we're doing. Is it working? How are we going to organize to carry on? So this slide, the general leadership team, fondly known as the GLT, is made up of Alison and me, and David and Sally, Ben and Kate, and Alex and Karen. Hitherto we've met fairly frequently and have been quite involved in the day-to-day running of things. But from now on, in recognition that there's a trend that's been developing for quite some time, we're going to meet less frequently, much less frequently, and we'll hand over the day-to-day running of things to the people who work in the office. That's been happening anyway over the last year or two, but we're just recognizing it and formalizing it. So the purpose of this team will in future be mainly to provide accountability for Alison and me. And that works in two ways. It's somewhere for us to go for support, but it's also a place where you know people are keeping an eye on us. So on day one, which is today, I'd appreciate you praying for us. The staff are there because there is, as we grow, a relentless flow of work going on. That's one of the troubles with growth in the church environment, is that you can do less and less in sort of after hours or when you're not working. There's just a relentless flow of work, and much of that has to be done in normal business hours. And so a staff team can build a certain expertise and resource and are more available than people who have to work normal hours. The important thing is their role is not to do the ministry of the church, all the stuff we've been talking about. Their role is not to do the ministry of the Wharfdale Vineyard. It's there to support and enable and equip you to do it. So if you're thinking, oh, we don't do enough prayer around here, pray. If you're thinking we don't do enough praying for the sick, pray for the sick. Okay, they'll help you, they'll facilitate it, they'll find resources for you, but it's not their job to do it. So what we're going to do is we're reorganizing the workload, which is sort of built up over the last few years, into five work groups. And the aim is that this will improve some communication and coordination and financial planning as the five work groups are assessed at the same time. We want to spread the decision-making and authority as well away from me and Alison through to another team, or wider than just us. There's lots of detail on the website, but just in very big summary. First of all, we've got a group called Big Groups of People. That's one work group, and that involves everything where there's a larger event, a celebration, where there's 40 people, 50 people or more, say. So that would be weekly worship, the gathering, the vine, which we think we might be starting, leaders' meetings, venue. It involves things like venue liaison, making sure there's worship, children's work, welcome, refreshments, all that type of stuff. So that's one big group of activity we're going to plug together in one group. The next one is small groups, which is smaller groups of people. So that's less than 40 or 50, 30, 40, 50 people. So house groups are the main bulk of that, but there's lots of others that meet, and they're not very well organized at the moment because of this. Bob, the men's group, Women Rock, which is very well organized, and we could do singles groups and marriage groups and older people's groups, seniors, and all sorts of things that there's scope for. Newmanites, prophecy party, marriage prep. Alpha is a small group that might fall in this area or might fall in another area. We'll decide on those things. Third area, the third work group, is family. And this is everything to do with children, the young people and their parents. And that includes at the moment things like the Friday Night Project, Deeper, which is the house group for the young people, the Vineyard Kids and the young people 2 for 12 on a Sunday morning, the children's parties, weekends away, all that type of thing. Potentially includes some older age groups, as well as some, we would love to develop some parenting and detached parenting stuff, and some detached youth and community work. The fourth work group is called Reach Out, and that's fairly self-explanatory. It's everything that we do which is for everybody else. So it's mission abroad, which we call other people, other places, evangelism, servant evangelism, acts of kindness, partnerships with other community work, ministry with the poor, on the streets, prophecy and prayer outside, out and about, everything that we sometimes sum up as the church has left the building. And then the final group of work is what we call support services, which incorporates all the admin, all the finance, the risk management, the operations, personnel stuff, the use of the building, communications, website, trustees, major projects, all that sort of thing. A big area. So we're going to reorganize the work into those five areas. To date, Alice and I have been involved in all of them, and it gets rather complicated when people are asking us about things, when they should. We want to delegate that to a team who can give it better and more attention. So what I'm going to do is to allocate one of each of the pastoral staff team to report in each of the first four work groups. So they won't lead them, but they'll report on them to me and Alison. And we'll be meeting weekly to share the information, to cross-reference dates and plans and resources and finance. So whatever you do at the moment, you need to keep doing it. Keep leading, keep recruiting, keep envisioning, keep casting a vision for the future, keep building your teams, keep doing your area of ministry. So during the week of prayer and fasting, you could pray like this over those over the days. If the today is for the GRT and the leaders, and tomorrow is for newcomers, for people who are increasingly joining us. But on Tuesday, pray for the big groups. Now, the member of staff that I've asked to report to me on all that area is Nick. Nick, he was the person who didn't introduce himself earlier on up here. He's also the person who wrote that excellent worship song. I don't know, the second one we sang. He's a great worship songwriter. So he'll report on that. Can you also pray for David and Sally, because they all come alongside him. They've got a massive amount of experience in running those things, and they're going to offer him experience and wisdom. On Wednesday, please focus your prayers for Ben and Kate in particular, because Kate and Ben already oversee house groups, and Kate in her paid role will continue with sort of supporting themselves, if you like, doing that, but also beginning to work on a whole range of other small groups, some of which are up and running and some of which we would love to get going. On Thursday, I'd like you to pray for Alex and Karen, who, as I said before, they head up Reach Out in the Reach Out team. And that's the other part of Eric's role, is going to be reporting to me on the whole Reach Out stuff. So Eric will be the man on the inside. Alex and Karen lead it. They've got a team in place. None of that changes. They've just got somebody on the inside to help consistently. Inside doesn't sound right. It sounds like there's an outside, but you know what I mean. On Friday, I'd like you to pray for Chris and Helen Walker, who lead the Vineyard Kids, and for Hannah Ripping, who leads T for 12, the Young People's Group. And in her paid capacity, I'm also asking Hannah to report on that whole area of family ministry. So that's the children, it's the young people, it's their parents, stuff that we haven't developed yet and hopefully will do in the future. I guess we do have something for parents in the form of belly buttons, but I think there's a lot of scope for more. And then on Saturday, I'd like you to pray for the administrative team, for all the people who do that. We have quite a few volunteers who help, but that's organized and spearheaded excellently by Anne, who was leading worship this morning at the keyboard, and Claire Tapp, who is our assistant administrator. We'll be gradually building in more support there, because that's an area that's going to grow the most, I think, in terms of needing extra help. Now, sorry to give you all that house business. I just wanted to make sure you're aware of what's going on behind the scenes. So next time you come up to me with a bright idea and I say, you can't talk to me, talk to that person, you'll know what's going on. Once these are established, and I think it'll take months to do so, and once we have that team reporting smoothly, I think we'll see some significant changes, one of which is communication. There's often clashes at the moment between communicating when somebody's decided to do this and gone off, and then somebody else has decided to do that and it's the same date or something like that. So having these four or five people sitting around the table communicating with each other will hopefully avoid unnecessary conflict. Coordination, we only have so much money, we only have so many resources, there's only so many buckets with sponges in for car washes, you know, there's only so many people available to stack chairs and things like that. So to be able to coordinate these groups together means that we all make sure that we don't end up doing one thing on one day which involves everything and then somebody else trying to do something else can't. So coordination will will help that in terms of resources. There's the financial planning. As we grow, it's harder and harder to track the finances, and so we want to be good stewards, and having these groups with their own budgets and with their own responsibility will mean that we can do that much better. And then from a pastoral perspective, Hannah and Kate and Nick and Eric all have a pastoral perspective. So I expect them to look out over the community of faith that is Wharfdale Vineyard with a pastoral eye as well as an organizational one. And thinking, you know, how are the people doing and how can we help, support, pray, intervene as necessary. Okay, that's I hope I haven't gone into too much detail, but I just wanted to let you know what's going on behind the scenes as we launch into 2009. Other plans for 2009. Well, it's all the stuff I said before about 2008. So all that, pretty well, will do. Hopefully more of it. I've introduced the new leadership and staff structure. We're going to be slightly shifting the focus on the teaching to helping you deal with issues. Thinking issues and personal issues. So the first series that we're doing, not next week because I'm doing part two of this talk in next week, but in the end of January, was kicking off a series of three on faith and science as Darwin's anniversary is being celebrated. We'll be celebrating science and how that assists and helps faith. And over the course of three, we'll be going through some think about where does evolution fit into it, Adam and Eve and all that sort of thing. So I think you'll find that really, really helpful. We're lucky that we've got people here who are interested and have got the brain power to interrogate the material and come up with really helpful stuff. We're then going to spend some time also on money. We're going to do three sessions on money, and especially in the current climate, what does the Bible say about money and how can we help with those issues? The bit that I'm going to be doing is I'm going to do a series of studies on 2 Corinthians, focused on helping people with issues. That's what Paul was doing when he was writing to the Corinthians. In terms of activities, we are 75% of the way towards getting some dates for some more of the Vine. Some of you have no idea what the Vine is. Those of you who are around for 2 or 3 years will understand that. We think we've got 3 or 4 dates lined up for this year, and we're just in the planning stages of thinking about whether to go ahead with that. If you have any opinions, do talk to us. Ash Burnham in August is something we do every 2 years. It's a week away. It's an amazing way to invest in yourself and in your family. It's not just us. There'll be a lot of us going, but there'll be many other churches involved as well. About 300 people will be going to this place down south. It's a really good week. I'd encourage you to consider that. I think you should all have seen these flyers. If not, there's lots of them around. Church planting. We haven't talked about church planting much in the last few months. And I just felt the Lord prod us on that and say it's time to get that back on the agenda. So over the course of this year, I would expect to maybe talk about that from time to time and encourage those of you who think church planting might be something that the Lord has called you to. And we want to help you with that and train you in it and equip you in it and hopefully one day to release you in it. We've been doing some, hearing some research about major challenges to the growth of the kingdom in the UK, and some of the stuff that we've been reading has confirmed what sort of we knew by gut instinct, is that one of the major areas is young people, children and young people. The church in the UK has missed the last 2 generations, 3 generations, and it's the area where we most need to invest. And I'm glad we do already. We've always, for several years, we've now paid for a youth worker and spent quite a lot of energy and money on trying to make sure that what we do for the young people and for the children is good. And we want to do more of that. I want to invest more in that, and I want to make sure that we are contributing towards capturing these people for Jesus forever. That's partly our own young people and children, but also I want to be able to begin to work in the community more and do some detached work. We're steadily growing, not fast, but steadily. Each week a few more people turn up, and we're hitting capacity here. When we get to about this level, that's they tell us in church growth studies that when you get to 80%, which is probably what we are today, you're then full, and people stop coming. So we need to think about how we're going to allow for God to bring more people to us. Changes in venues or times or whatever, we'll keep stirring that pot. One of the things that we will do to help deal with that is the gathering, which is once a month on a Sunday evening. By the end of the year, I suspect will be every week. And it may be the Vineyard Center, or we may have moved it up to here, depending on numbers. That's something I'd like to see develop. And then finally, but probably the biggest deal, is something we call Projects from the Heart. Those of you who were around 3 years ago when we did the Steps campaign, we talked about the things that we would love to do if we had a resource base like the Vineyard Center, which we have now. But I want more. And I don't think we'll do it this year, but I want to start the planning for buying another building. The option at the moment on the table is in our business park where we are. Those of you who visited, you know that the buildings are very similar. There's seven, but two have been joined together to make it look like there's one. That's why I'm confused. But three of them are empty, and I would love to buy one of those in order to provide more services to reach into the community and to share God's love and power. We could go for a big building to do this thing, but I think we get more bang for our buck in doing the kingdom stuff if we can minister into the community. So some of the things I've got up my sleeve I'd love to see us develop if we had another building were things like an alternative schooling provision for kids who get kicked out of school for bad behavior. Nowadays, they have to be looked after somewhere, and there's an organization we want to partner with to see if we can help with that so they can get back into their school, and also then we can develop relationships with them and their families. Debt counseling has always been on our agenda. This year would be a good year to get going on that, I think, and in the coming years. Asylum seekers and immigration work, I think there's lots of scope there. We've long wanted to do some sort of mental health support, some sort of surgery arrangement for that. I'd love to think that we could do that. There's people who would love to do a food bank, whereby we collect food from leftovers from various places, you know, restaurants and shops and things. We collect them, make sure they're good, it's good quality and in date, and then go and deliver it out. And that's something we'd love to do. I'd love to work with unemployed people and helping them get back to work, writing CVs, interviews, all that type of thing, training. Addiction recovery, we already help. We partner with somebody in working in an addiction recovery group, but we could do a lot more of that. How does that sound as an agenda for 2009? Might keep us busy? Okay then, this is my question. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? In 2007, I presented you with a challenge in your walk with Jesus. It was to let him guide you to give generously, perhaps irresponsibly, and see that him then provide for you, as you are used by him to provide for his church and by the church to provide for our world of need. That's what Paul was talking about in that passage I read. That enabled us to buy the Vineyard Center, which has been crucial to almost all the things that we do, and certainly for the future. In 2008, I presented you with a different challenge. In 2008, it was to leave your circle of comfort, walk across the room, enter the zone of the unknown, and share something of God's love for another person. As a result, as we already rehearsed, thousands of people have been touched by his love and mercy. Wonderful. In 2009, my challenge comes from that passage. The old translation reads, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." The way I want to say it is, what are you waiting for? Do you want to see his kingdom come? Do you want to be part of a community of faith where people can experience the undeniable presence of God? Do you want these steps that we talk about to be part of your life, part of our life? We can't do this on our own. This is why God calls us together in church, in community, because we have to do it together. What are you waiting for? I want to call you to continue to give generously, to continue to walk across the room, and this year to conquer strongholds. I would like you to continue to give. Many of you do that already. Many do that generously, or as Paul describes it, so generously. If your income increases, give more. If you don't know how to give, or you want to update your giving, just go to the opportunity section of the website, and there's an opportunity there for you to give. I love the way they put it in the opportunity section. Or just call the office if you're not on the web. At this point in time, I want to tell you that our regular giving is running a bit short of our regular spending, what we want to spend for the rest of this year to do those things. We're short of some money every month. And I'm sort of having an ongoing debate with God about that. Why does he give us stuff to do, which I can't see the money for just yet? But he always provides, through us. So assuming that we're right and those are the things that we have been called to do, then I'm assuming he'll provide. So please rethink your giving if you haven't done so recently. We also need some one-off sums of money, not big amounts really, but 500s and thousands, two or three amounts, just to upgrade things in the in the office. We need to desperately upgrade some of the computer systems and things. And I basically said to the team that we can't have anything until we get some one-off gifts to do that. So if you are sitting on some surplus, or you just feel prompted by God to give a modest lump sum, then we'd love to be able to do some of the next things we need to do. We think we're doing the right things. You know, I read the vision statement right at the beginning. We think we're doing the right thing. We think we're going where God wants us to go. I think you want us to do this. So I'm drawing it to your attention so that I can then say to you, what are you waiting for? Give generously. Again. I also want you to continue to walk across the room. Remember how we say faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Please keep taking risks about reaching out to the stranger or the co-worker or the friend or family member. Keep sowing into people's lives, as Paul describes. Paul goes on to say in the NIV version, he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having everything you need, are you getting the point? He's trying to get this across. You will abound in every good work. By sowing generously as you give, he will give to you to be able to continue giving. As you continue to walk across the room, continue to take risks, he will feed you and enable you and equip you and give you everything you need. Every person who crosses your path will be better off for having something of the touch of Jesus in their life. God will give you everything you need for this. So again, what are you waiting for? Continue to walk across the room. This year, I want to challenge you about conquering strongholds. I'll talk more about this next week, but Paul's encouragement to sow generously has the payoff of finding that we can be made rich and can be generous on every occasion. I know that he's talking mainly about money, but I think it's also true in all of our life about how we follow Jesus. So often we hold back from dealing with deep-seated issues, which cripple our ability to be fruitful and generous on every occasion. Most of us know what these strongholds are, those bits that hold us captive inside. I want to teach and I want to work with you so that the Holy Spirit can come and help you identify them and conquer them and set you free to sow generously. When faced with these strongholds, my challenge to you will be, what are you waiting for? There's an old song, a poem written by Howard Thurman, who was a mentor for Martin Luther King. And it came to us on a Christmas card this year, which I want to read to you, which I think is fantastic. This card here, it says, when the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. Inside it says, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoners, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Shall we do that? We'd like to stand and we'll pray. The guys who are praying beforehand had this word for us. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Everything we have is from you. We're so grateful to you for everything you've given us. For the birth of Jesus, for all the good gifts. We are so fortunate, not just materially living in Leeds in the West, but just because we know you. We're so fortunate to have a forever ahead of us, to have your peace and your presence in our lives. And we really, really want to share this with others. Do you want to just think of those friends and family and co-workers around you who need to know Jesus? Say their names to yourself. Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift them up to you. And we ask that we won't have any obstacles in our lives, either financial or taking a risk or strongholds, which will come between us and them and being able to share you with them. Lord, will you rescue many people this year? Will you heal the sick and find the lost? We give ourselves to you for this purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.